Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. This week, judges at the International Criminal Court signed off on an investigation into Cote d'Ivoire's post-election violence. By the conflict's end, at least 3,000 civilians had been killed, and more than 150 women were raped by forces on both sides.
After 6 months of some of the most egregious violations of human rights that I've documented, there has to be impartial justice for the country to move forward.
That's Matt Wells. He's an Africa researcher at Human Rights Watch. He was on the ground in Cote d'Ivoire from the beginning of the unrest. He's the author of a new report that says steps towards justice in the country have so far been one-sided.
The post-election violence in Cote d'Ivoire was marked by war crimes and very likely crimes against humanity committed by both sides. The forces under former President Laurent Gbagbo, who refused to step down after his defeat in the election, and the forces of current President Alassane Ouattara, who won the November 28 election runoff. The government of Ouattara, which took power in mid-April, has brought charges now against 118 from the Gbagbo camp, many of whom we implicated directly in grave crimes during the post-election violence. But so far, it hasn't brought charges against a single member of its own camp, threatening a victor's justice, a one-sided justice that will only increase the tensions and cleavages that have caused violence for the last decade in Cote d'Ivoire.
In the western town of Dwekwe, hundreds of ethnic Gere civilians were seen as supporting Gbagbo and were killed by pro-Ouattara groups. Here's a survivor describing what happened.
The first house they took was mine. They broke into the door with an axe we had left outside. We went out and they asked us, "Who did you vote for?" They said, "You silly people, you voted for Gbagbo? Now dance. You must start dancing," shouting, "Alassane, Alassane." So all of us started dancing. They shot a young man in the foot. They killed two of my children and also my younger brother.
As pro-Gbagbo forces fled from the west, hundreds of people from northern Cote d'Ivoire and neighboring West African countries were also killed. A survivor from the town of Blolokan describes hiding in a government building as Gbagbo forces attacked.
Gbagbo soldiers were in front of us, there, and others, two people behind. The soldiers counted to five, and when they reached five, they began to shoot. They killed one woman, close to me, and I managed to run away.
The International Criminal Court has vowed to investigate alleged crimes on the part of forces loyal to the current and former presidents. Again, here's Matt Wells.
It certainly sends a strong signal of both the gravity of crimes that were committed and the need to address these crimes through justice. The ICC has a really important role to play, not only in bringing some cases forward at the international level, but also at spurring this sort of impartial engagement in Cote d'Ivoire that's necessary to move the country forward.
What does your new report tell us about what exactly happened during the most recent conflict?
The key thing is that both sides are implicated in the gravest crimes under international law, war crimes and very likely crimes against humanity. One of the testimonies that has always stayed with me is there was this woman who had taken refuge deep in the bush with her father, her husband, and her 10-year-old son, and two members of the Republican forces, the pro-Ouattara forces, came out even deep into the bush to their plantation. And when they saw her, they opened fire. She fell down to the ground. She hadn't been hit, but then she watched as they killed at point-blank range her father, her husband, and her 10-year-old son. And we were sitting in a camp for refugees in Liberia, and she described, I couldn't even cry because if I cried, they would know I was there, and then they would kill me. And then once they left, she described, picking up and holding her 10-year-old son that had just been killed at point-blank range. And these are the types of crimes that the pro-Ouattara forces are also implicated in. And so long as there's no justice, so long as this sort of behavior is treated as less egregious than what the pro-Gbagbo forces did, the country's not going to move forward.
And we're talking about the most recent conflict, the post-election violence, really what turned into
a civil conflict after this November 2010 election. Can you set that up for us? What happened? And I guess, what were the circumstances in the country that allowed it to slip into violence in this way?
So for really the last 15 years, in 1993, the founder of Cote d'Ivoire, the longtime president, Houphouët Boigny, died, and that left kind of a power vacuum in the country. And since then, you've really had the same three people run for elections and be at the head of the country ever since. That's Laurent Gbagbo, who's been president for the last 10 years, Alassane Ouattara, who's now president, and Henri Konan Bédier, who was the president between 1995 and 1999. And both Bédier and Gbagbo, they coined this term Ivoirité, which means Ivoirianess, what it means to be an Ivoirian. And at the root of that was that essentially Northern Ivoirians were second-class citizens, and that's from where President Ouattara and most of his followers come from. And they often use this to target Ouattara specifically and keep him out of elections, to keep him from running. He was denied the ability to run both in 1995 and in 2000.
It's a very complicated conflict, but at the same time, it's also this. What's happened recently echoes what happened in the 2000 elections and 2002, 2003 in Cote d'Ivoire. What are the roots of this conflict?
There's been a decade of complete impunity in Cote d'Ivoire. So there was a previous armed conflict in 2002, 2003, in which it wasn't perhaps of the scale of killings that took place during this conflict, but there were massacres. There was mass rape of women, egregious crimes that fall under war crimes and potentially crimes against humanity, and yet no one was held to account, either at the international level or at the domestic level. So it created this environment in which if one wore a security forces uniform or one simply carried a gun as a militiaman, you were completely above the law in Cote d'Ivoire. You could do whatever you want. You could kill, you could rape, you could pillage, and there was no threat that you would be held to account for what you'd done. And that was combined then with really a decade of manipulating ethnicity in Cote d'Ivoire. The former president, Laurent Gbagbo, you know, preyed on cleavages along political and ethnic lines in Cote d'Ivoire to consolidate his power, to benefit those groups that supported him. And the result then was kind of a rupture after the 2010 election of these political and ethnic blocs that resulted in the worst spate of violence yet.
Matt, you were there during the conflict and you've been back again and again. I guess it must be frustrating to see that the violence is also continuing, that you've actually documented killings more recently.
Right, even just in mid-September, so less than a month ago, there was a cross-border attack. Militiamen who supported Gbagbo, who had fled to Liberia, and they crossed the border in the night, attacked a village of mostly West African immigrants, killed at least 23, and then went back across the border into Liberia. And this is the second such event like this just in the last couple months. So again, you can see that all of the things that fueled the violence for the last 12 years are still there. And in some ways, you know, each time that a new round of violence occurs, it just increases the tensions and divisions that have existed. And so, again, there's a real need for accountability of both sides.
And again, your report is looking back at this violence, looking at what happened even at the tail end of this conflict. What needs to happen now with these findings?
I would say majority of the country that isn't really hard line behind either side, but merely wants the country to, you know, return to its place as the economic core of West Africa, the place of peace and stability that it once was. And these people are deeply concerned about what looks to be victor's justice right now. And so long as victor's justice is the reality in Cote d'Ivoire, the divisions that have been created are only going to continue and perhaps worsen. And that poses a real threat for us to be talking again 5 years from now about, you know, the new rounds of violence in Cote d'Ivoire if action isn't quickly taken.
That was Matt Wells, Africa researcher at Human Rights Watch. To read the full report on Cote d'Ivoire, called They Killed Them Like It Was Nothing, visit the HRW website, hrw.org. And the sound you heard from earlier in this podcast was from a video produced by journalist Peter DeCampo with support from the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. You can also find us on Facebook, or you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.